Are you guys ready?
Yes.
All right. How many Teen Challenge graduates in here? All right. How many of you Teen Challenge graduates brought your business cards? Three. How many need some mentoring now? All right. Hey, all joking set aside, we got the pleasure of having Willie. Is Willie in here? There he is. We got his awesome woman of God with him today, or she's doing it. Actually, Dr. Anna Ramos. Yes. Amen. Doctor, that means she's smarter than us. And she's has a PhD in professional counseling. She's a licensed mental health counselor. She has her master's in addiction certification through the National Board of Certified Counselors. She's a clinical director of Long Island Teen Challenge. Dr. Ramos is also a member of the American Counseling Association, and she's an ordained minister. Are you a Teen Challenge graduate, too? No? Oh. All right. Honorary, yeah. If you're married to a Teen Challenge graduate, that pretty much shoes you in, amen? That's what my wife would say, amen. All right, so I'm going to turn it over to you, okay? Thank you.
I just want to share, wow, it's loud. I just want to share a quick testimony of who I am. Of course, you hear all of these different things that you hear about someone when they're getting ready to present. And I just want to share a little brief testimony of how I got here to this place today. I got called into the ministry when I was about 17 years old. Didn't know exactly where I was going or how I was going to get there. Went off to Bible college at Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. Completed my education pieces there, and I was looking for an internship. And I had briefly heard of Teen Challenge at my time at Central Bible College, but I really didn't know a whole lot about it until Jimmy Jack came down and said he needed interns at Long Island Teen Challenge to come and intern. And of course, I was one that signed up and did an interview and came to Long Island Teen Challenge and did my internship at the program there. And one of the first things that I can say is that the moment that I walked in through the doors, I fell in love with Teen Challenge. That was one thing that I can say, that I just loved the ministry. I loved the whole idea of the program, of faith-based piece of ministering to the heartbroken and those that were hurting. I can tell you of many stories at night going upstairs and praying with new students who were sobbing and crying coming into the program, and how it changed me, literally changed me, being at Teen Challenge. And so I fell in love with the program, and then shortly after I fell in love with my husband, and we started dating, and he went off to Central Bible College. He completed his pastoral ministries degree, and I went and got my master's in counseling at the same time as we were going to school there. And of course, the moment that I stepped into one of my classes for my master's program, I felt the Holy Spirit said, "You're going to get your PhD." And I was like, okay, all right, Lord, this was never my track. This was never my thought when I was growing up, when I was going to church and feeling called into the ministry. I never thought counseling was the direction that God had called me, but this is where he ended up leading me. And of course, we came back to Long Island. I'm not from New York, but we can talk about it. Some coffee, we can talk some coffee talk and forget about it, you know, that whole thing. But I love the ministry of Teen Challenge. And one of the things that we noticed over the years as being a part of the ministry, that was in 1999, was my summer internship from Central Bible College, 19 years working with the ministry of Teen Challenge. And one of the things that I found that was lacking throughout the years was that there was a part of the program that seemed to be missing. And I don't know about you guys as far as how things are implemented in your particular centers, but at our facility, when you would meet with a student, it would say, you know, what are you going through? What's happening in your life? And what do you need prayer on? And so the staff would meet with the students and they would say, how's everything? And the student would be like, fine. And is there anything wrong? No. And do you need prayer? I guess. And it was kind of like that consistently. And of course, you would get the couple rare breeds that would open up and want to talk about things. But for a majority of the students in the program, it was a very difficult piece of getting them to open up and talk about what were some of the things they were going through. Now, let me just pause and state that the men and the women are two different two different dynamics. I think women in some respects were a little bit more open on some levels to talk about things, but the guys tend to just to close up and had a very difficult time trusting, opening up, sharing what they were going through, and even knowing what they were going through, I think was a piece of that dynamic as well. So fast forward, here I start my doctoral program, and I knew that I wanted to do my dissertation on Teen Challenge. I just wasn't sure how, what, when, or why. And, you know, of course, I was thinking about replicating the program study that said, you know, the success rate and all of those types of things. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit was leading me in a completely different direction. And that's where God led me to do more of the staff training piece within Teen Challenge. And hence, Start Right came out of that dissertation. And we're going to get into that a little bit right now and share with you what exactly is Start Right and how this can definitely help your centers. If anything I can say to you is that this definitely will help your centers. And I have a couple of people who are outside of our little network who I would love for them to share their testimony here at the end here about how Start Right has helped their particular center so that it's not a biased view, because sometimes we can be biased when we're presenting things. I don't want it to be a biased view. I want other people to share from another point of view how this program has helped them at their particular center, and we'll get into that in just a second. So if you have your notebooks here on page 40, I do have a couple of notes, and I'm going to go over some things. I also have individual booklets that I am going to be passing out to each and every one of you guys as we get through here. I just didn't want to do it at the beginning, because then you'll get distracted by looking through all the good stuff in the booklets. But before we begin, let's just take a moment and pray and ask the Lord just to minister to us in this time. Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful national conference, and we thank you for each person here today, each director, each staff member, each person that is part of another center of Teen Challenge, and we thank you for your extended arm and your hands and feet in the ministry of Teen Challenge. Father, we just pray that you will speak to each heart today. God, that you will minister to them, that you will open our hearts, our eyes, that we will see what you would want us to see and hear what you'd want us to hear. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so on page 40, you will see that I'm bringing the subject of healing through mentoring. And one of the ways that we do that, obviously, is through the Start Right program. So if you look at that first point, number one, it says, why do you need Start Right mentoring program? And that first question part here goes into that answer here. Start Right is designed to be relevant by being a part of the Christian discipleship model. And what that basically means is that what Pastor Don Wilkerson was preaching last night is 100% true, is what we are, is that we are a Christian program, that we speak the word of God, we preach sin, we're not preaching the disease model. And there is a difference between psychology and the Christian faith field, obviously. If any of you have done any studying within that, there is a difference between the two, and we could probably get into that a little bit more towards the end if anyone has questions. But we here, and my program specifically, has to do with the Christian discipleship model, which means it's everything is all about Jesus, and that we preach Jesus and we live Jesus, and that's what it's all about. So it's relevant to the Christian discipleship model. And as you guys know, the theme and the motto of Teen Challenge is mentally sound, emotionally balanced, socially adjusted, physically well, and spiritually alive. And there's lots of ways to implement that into your program. But like I said, one of the areas that we were finding a lack was that emotionally balanced and socially adjusted pieces were lacking with mentoring, specifically the staff and student mentoring. So there is lots of spirituality pieces. Let's pray, let's have devotions, let's go to church, let's have those different times of intercession, which are awesome and absolutely important and needed. And then the physical aspect of, having a hope having an address and a bed and food and all of those pieces and the medical sides that are taken care of. But the emotional and the social pieces and the mental pieces, I was finding that there was a lack, that there wasn't a bridge to some of those pieces of how do you help students who have struggled with addiction emotionally and mentally and socially, how do you get them back on track? How do you bridge that gap? And one of the ways that we bridge that gap is through the mentoring program. So number one, it's part of the Christian discipleship program model. And of course, one of my favorite scriptures is Romans 12, 1 and 2. It talks about do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by how? The renewing of your mind. right? How do you renew your mind? Sometimes you need someone alongside of you to say, hey, what you're thinking is not completely correct, right? How many people have had someone in your life speak into your life when you're going through something and show you that you weren't exactly thinking properly at that time? Right? I think most of us have had those kinds of mentors, pastors, leaders, teachers who have spoken into our life when we were kind of getting off track, right? And that's really where that is that that renewing of the mind piece does come through people. God uses people to speak into our hearts and our minds and use that as a way to bring that discipleship to a whole nother level. Okay, number two. Start Right is simplistic yet statistically proven to help students improve in their overall emotional and mental health. And this is really where it comes from, and how I have the validity to say that is that it comes from my dissertation. When I did my dissertation, I did all of the students in our program, and we did a pre-test, and we did a post-test, and we analyzed the tests at the beginning, and then we analyzed the test after they did the maps, and it showed a dramatic increase. In fact, each student, if I were to get it very technical, but I don't want to get in technical pieces of it, but basically each student improved by 300% from their first original test. It was a dramatic increase. They dramatically improved in these areas that we tested when they were doing the Start Right program. And that really just had to do with staff members sitting one-on-one with the students going over these things. And we're going to get into that a little bit more. But there is a statistically proven way to help students improve in their emotional and mental health. And this is really where I was saying that gap is, where we're trying to bridge all of those pieces of teen challenge: mentally sound, emotionally balanced, socially adjusted, physically alive, and spiritually alive and physically well. All of those pieces, we want to bridge them together and make that part of what the Teen Challenge program is all about. The other thing with the Start Right is that it's very basic. This is not rocket science, and this is part of what I designed with the program, is that these things, that as you see them, it's not something that is too complicated. They're like, well, you know, you're a counselor, you know, it's going to be really technical. No, it's not. I designed this way so that it's basically a third grade level, that you could really get into some of these pieces. It's really not complicated. And you can make it more complicated if you wanted to, but you don't have to. It's all based on cause and effect. Like, because of this, this is what happens. This happens and this happens. So it's based on cause and effect. So it really does help statistically with their overall emotional and mental health. Okay, number three, Start Right provides purposeful direction for staff when meeting with the students. Now, what does that mean? Purposeful direction. Kind of what I was getting back to at the beginning, that when staff would meet with the students and they would ask them what was going on, how are they going, how's everything going? Great. Fine, no problems, no issues. I've done drugs for 20 years, but I have no problems whatsoever. You know, and so literally that was part of this purposeful direction. Well, how do you help the students get to a place of connecting with some of those parts? And one of the things that the maps do is that it provides that purposeful direction, gives you a template, gives you a way to outline of what to go, what to cover. And as you guys are aware of, as many of you directors who have who go through accreditation and recertification every couple of years, that the maps do fit within the accreditation standard 49. So as you do these will fit very nicely when you have your accreditations and your certifications. Everything will flow very smoothly for you guys and make it super easy for them to recredential you. The maps also serve as a memory aid, and we'll get into this in a second when I give you you'll actually see all the maps and what they look like. But they serve as a memory aid, and what that means is that when a student completes a map, that they can have a photocopy of the front of it with you that you complete with them, and they can take it with them. They can go over it again if they want to review it. It's something that they can use over and over again. It's targeted focus, mainly for specific topics that relate to addiction and substance abuse. So it does help with some of those pieces as well. It helps the staff communicate better. How many know that a lot of times it's the staff members are graduates themselves, which is an awesome piece of our program. But there is a significant part of that where they may not feel like they have the training to do certain things, and this is where that comes in. That you're giving them specific, targeted focus on what to talk about, how to talk about those things, and how to lead them in that piece really is a benefit for them, especially if they don't have any formal training or if they're not really sure where to start or to begin with. I know for us, just at Long Island, we have over 50 staff members that constantly are going through the program and different people who are being trained in this piece, and they don't have psychology in their background. They do not have a bachelor's degree. They don't have an AA. A lot of them do not have any formal training whatsoever. So this is really something for everyone that they can use to help with your program and the discipleship piece of your program. And it also, another thing that it provides with purposeful direction is that it stimulates discussion and increases the length of the time of the mentoring session that you're having with the student. So like I would say, the staff member would meet with the student and ask them what was going on. The student would basically say nothing was going on. And the staff member would just say, okay, that's it, and just let them go. And so again, that's a problem because we do need to be those outstretched hands and arms. I know that my husband, myself, we cannot sit down, do 1 hour sessions with every single student in our program, especially the larger programs. So we need the staff members to be our hands and feet and arms and reaching out to all of the students in the program and meeting with them the way that they need to be met with so that they can have that Christian discipleship that they need to have, right? That Pastor Don was speaking about last night. And it also helps to bring clarity to certain issues, and we'll get into that in a second. And the last point, number four, that I would just say with this is that StartRight is designed to work. And what do I mean by that? It is that it definitely will help your program. I can just give you a quick testimony from this last Friday. We just had a graduation this last Friday, and most of our graduation classes prior to our mentoring program were rather small. I would say, I don't know, maybe 10 average, I would say, would be about the graduation individuals of how many people were coming up through the ranks. This last graduation, we had 62 people graduate the program. Now, I can't take credit for that, and I don't take credit for that. Obviously, that's Jesus, okay? But I can tell you that God works through this program, and that we help with the retention rates. How many know that part of Teen Challenge, the problem is you can get them into the program and then after 30 days they're out, right? And so that retention piece, keeping them in the program, is huge so that they can get to that place of graduation. This is what helps. This will help with that, because what you're doing is you're training your staff members and your interns to meet with the students on an individual basis, and you're working through issues, and you're being proactive, and you're dealing with things before they even arise, so that at a place where they're able to deal with these things, so that when they get to that place of feeling like they're frustrated, they're not wanting to leave, that they're willing to stay and work things out. So there is a mentoring piece that is so important that I think that a lot of our centers, we may miss that from time to time, and we do need to get to that place of mentoring once again, okay? So that is that. I'm going to hand out to you. I'm going to have Angela and Rosie and maybe a couple other help me hand out a booklet of all the start rights to all of the directors, and I just want to go over a couple of those pieces with you guys, if you will, and then we'll just open it at the end for some question and answers. And how that works. So altogether, there are 32 maps that you would go through. So if you did one map a week, that would be eight months worth of maps that you would complete. There are some logistical pieces of the maps that we'll get into too, as far as what you need to do, how you need to do that, the administration side of things. And I'm just going to wait till everybody gets one before we keep moving forward here. There's a couple more in the back there, I think. Everybody got one? Okay. The other thing that I wanted to mention with the mentoring program is that all of this is completely free, by the way. This is completely, completely, completely free. Okay? So this costs you guys absolutely zippo. Okay? So where you get this is, it's actually one of the courses on the website for TCUSA. Inside of your packets, you will see, I think it's in like the third page in. Some of this we've already covered, but the third page in, I think, goes over where you find the maps with the TC mentoring program. This is it right here. Start Right Mentoring Program. Register online at TCUSA. All of this is completely free. So what that basically means is anyone and everyone can do it. There is no charge. You get all of the maps that I'm giving you today. It's going to be electronic. You get everything that you have today. It's basically for anyone's use. And the reason why is because this is so important that I really feel like God wants to get it into as many hands as possible to help with that discipleship and that mentoring process. It is so important and so vital and so needed. So it's a completely free program. It doesn't cost one thing to your centers, and this is a really great resource that you can utilize. Now let me just pause for a second and share with some logistics about the Start Right program, and then we'll get right back into some of those maps. So logistically speaking, one of the things that we do at our program and at our center is that we make this mandatory as part of our staff getting paid. Now, some people might find that a little bit offensive or strange, but we actually say, listen, this is one of the reasons why you are here, is to meet and to help the students. So we're going to make that a requirement so that before you get paid, you're going to be meeting with your mentorees. Okay, and there's a logistical piece that we turn in paperwork, and all of that gets put into their file so that we know that they have met with their mentorees that week before they get paid. That's just one of the ways that we've done that. There's also a form that we have a mapping record for each student to keep track of what maps they've completed. Now, their maps are very easy. They follow in a corresponding chronological order. They go map 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, 1-4, 2-1, 2-2, 2-3, 2-4, all the way up through 8-1, 8-2, 8-3, 8-4. So there, like I said, there's 32 maps all together, and they follow in a chronological order. So there is a logistical piece to this and an administrative piece to it, but it's very simple, and if you want to implement it, you absolutely can implement it. But that's one of the ways that we have done, is we've made it a part of the requirement before you get paid every 2 weeks, that you have to make sure your mentorees have their map in. Most of the staff have about 2 to 3 mentorees. There are some staff that have more than that. And depending on how large your facility is, you can basically increase or decrease based on that. But most of our staff members have about 3 to 4 mentorees underneath their belt. And one of the things that's great with the mentoree piece is that how we've made it at our program is that they are also the ones that are doing like the character qualities, the PSNCs, and all those other types of things that are in addition to the mentoring piece. So they know them more than any other staff member might. And so they're providing them with those other additional resources in relation to the mentoring piece, that if there are other parts that they want to couple with the mentoring, they have that access to it, and they have that that knowledge of that student so that they know how to do that best. Okay, so there's some logistical pieces. So if you want to turn with me to stage one, it's entitled Stress, and I'm just going to run through a couple of these real quick with you, and then I'm going to open it up for you guys for question and answers, and just to see what you guys have to say about some of these things. But let me just give you an example of this. So this is the very first map, and of course, if you take this online course, you get all the training. You'll see on the left-hand side, it says C stands for characteristics, L stands for leads to. So when you're asking the student, so I'd be, if I was the staff member sitting with a student, I would ask the student, what are some characteristics that make you feel like you're stressed? How do you know when you're starting to get stressed out? What are some things that you're feeling? What are some of the things that they're going through? A lot of times they'll say, you know, I feel uptight, I get irritable, I get, you know, tired, I shut down. They give all their answers of related to why, what are some characteristics of when they're feeling stressed. So then you follow that L that stands to what problems does stress cause in my life. So a lot of times they'll say, well, sometimes it'll be a relational problem. Sometimes it'll cause me to want to quit or to give up, or, you know, they'll go through different answers of what some of these problems that causes from stress in their life. And then on the left-hand side, you'll see, what do I tell myself to become stressed out? And these are things that are internal, like, I can't take it anymore. I can't do this. This isn't working for me. I don't do this God thing. You know, whatever it is on that left-hand side, those are some of the things that I tell myself when I become stressed out. And then on the flip side of it, what do I tell myself to calm down? I can do this. God is with me. Give it a shot. Take it one day at a time. Those are just a couple of sample answers of what the students may say. And of course, in your booklet, in after you see 1-1, those are some of the examples that have been provided to us by students when they have gone through these. Then I have the staff member end with a Bible verse, and of course, always praying with this. Now, as you can see, this is very much cause and effect. So what is cause? You know, what is the problem? Here's some of the issues. And then what is the effect of that problem? And it's just helping students to identify that when I'm feeling X, Y, and Z, oh, I'm feeling stressed out. Oh, I'm feeling this. Oh, I'm going through this. Again, dealing with the emotional pieces of what we were saying, those gaps with the mentoring part of that, and helping them to realize and recognize what some of those things are. Okay? So that's just a sample of stress. Let me flip it on to, let's just do the second one, map 1-2, talking about trusting authority. How many know that when a student first comes into the program, a lot of times trust is not there, right? So how do you work through that with them? And that's one of the first things that you talk to them as a student and a staff member. How do you work through that trusting authority piece? What does trusting authority look like? What are some characteristics? What are some of those things that how I know that I'm trusting authority? And then how does trust relate to respect? How did those two relate? Some very interesting dynamics and conversations you can definitely get into with the students regarding that. Again, what can I tell myself that makes trusting authority hard? What can I tell myself that makes trusting authority easy? Ending in some Bible verses and prayer. Now, you will see with you the beginning of your notebooks, and then you will be equipped with Bible verses that I've provided with you for each map. Of course, those are just guides. Those are not requirements. You can use your own scriptures. And I've also given you a list of definitions of what all each of the maps are. So there's 32 maps, and I've given you definitions of what each map helps you deal with and go through. There's some really great ones as you get through them, and it's meant to be kind of a progressive piece with the maps. So you kind of start off simplistic and you kind of build from there, and by the time you get into 5, it's just over with. You're getting into some really great conversations with a mentoree that you've had for at least 4 or 5 months at that point. And you can see that it's just really powerful tool to help the students when they're in the program to connect more and to deal with some of the issues that they're dealing with in a godly way, with a godly mentor, with the right kind of answers and the right kind of things to go through these issues. Now, I just want to take a couple of minutes right now just to do a couple of testimonials. I know Sue, why don't you come up? And then I'm going to have either one of the guys, Paul or Dave, just come share. Sue, of course, you all know she's with Walter Hovingholm, and I had the pleasure of being able to share this with the Walter Hovingholm. So I asked her, she actually volunteered to share a couple of testimony of what it's done at the Walter Hovingholm, because it's a little different. They have a very large program there, so I was going to have her share a little bit about how it's worked for you guys.
It's worked amazingly well. I can't really, it's like trying to explain Jesus or the Holy Spirit. Like, you can't really explain it, but it works. It's so simplistic. You ask 3 questions, and they're simple questions, but it opens up a dialogue with, each lady that I mentor with. And it's 25 minutes, and that's it. And they're amazed, and I'm amazed, every time they come in at how much better they feel when they're leaving than they did when they came in, when they didn't even know they had a problem. And so I am like the biggest cheerleader of this program. We learned it several years ago. It took us a little bit to get going, to get consistent with it. But we are on it now, and we are consistent with it, and I just think it's wonderful, and I want to say thank you. thank you so much for making a difference in our ladies.
Amen. Thank you so much. Praise God. Dave, why don't you come up? Dave was with Buffalo, and he's a recent director there, and I just want him to share a little bit from the guy's point of view.
All right, awesome. So I'm a graduate of Long Island Teen Challenge, and I graduated there right on the coattails of the development of the program. So I've been able to watch it grow throughout the past 8 or 9 years, and the impact that it has on the guys really is amazing. We've seen our graduations grow, and I know that that's a part of it. God is using it in a mighty way just to produce mega fruit in the ministry. So just two things that I want to talk about that I really like about the Start Right program. One, Lockdown, I touched on it, is just the outline that it gives interns and staff members to follow as they sit and counsel with students. I know for me, being a drug addict, being set free and delivered, and then having the responsibility 14 months later to counsel somebody, I was like, I have no idea how to counsel somebody. I could barely counsel myself. And following these maps, it gives you such a solid foundation to follow. And like you said, by the time you're 5 or 6 months into a program with one of your mentorees, the communication that you have established with them, it's awesome. You're sitting there at first, it's a struggle, map 1-1, 1-2, to make it 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And by the end, there are times that you're in counseling sessions for 45 minutes to an hour with guys, and time has just flown by. And then also what I believe is most important is that something that I've learned is that as leaders and directors of teen challenges, is the only time somebody is going to follow us and listen to what we have to say is when we prove to them that we love them and that they can trust us. And the communication that is opened up in these maps, it really gets the person that you're sitting with, your disciplee, in a place where they believe that they can trust you and that you're investing into their lives. And that's what I really think the key is. It develops an intimate relationship between the discipler and the disciplee, and that's where you see the most fruit being produced in the men and women's lives. And I'm grateful for it. When I took over in Buffalo a little bit about a year and a half ago, it's the first thing that I did with the staff when I got up there. When an intern graduates the program, their first day as an employee of Buffalo Teen Challenge, they're doing the training online. And that's what I set them up first with. That's because I believe in this. I believe in this mentoring program and the format that has been developed. So I really do hope that everybody gives it a shot, because you will see amazing fruit in your ministries. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. The last thing I would want to share before I open up for questions is that a lot of times the feedback that I do get from our staff members is that doing the maps is like a double-edged sword, that as you yourselves are doing this map, the Holy Spirit is pounding you about those areas in your own life. And as you're sharing with them about how they need to trust and respect authority, and then God's hammering you about how you need to trust and respect authority, and all of those pieces, you know, God is ministering to you through it. So it's definitely not just for the students, it's also for the staff. And this is a great thing that you can do to help not only your program, help the retention pieces, help your graduation pieces, but also just the staff development. This is just a really great tool for you. So if I can just encourage anyone, definitely give it a shot. And there is, like I said, there is some logistical pieces. There is some startup issues that you definitely have to work through and have some administrative sides of things to be handled. But it is well worth any time or investment that you put into it. So I just want to open up to any questions now, if there's any questions regarding Start Right and anything with that. Yes?
How long does it take to go through the training?
So the question was, how long does it take to go through the training? It is about the training online. What would you guys say?
5 hours.
It's 5 hours. Okay.
Yeah,
you could do it. You could do, if you did 1 hour a day, you could get it through in a week. We kind of just make everybody do it all in one day, one shot, get through it all. But it's 5 hours for the online training piece. That's a great question. Any other questions? Yes.
Do you give the mentor like any formal role in communicating with family?
As far as within the maps themselves?
Just if they're, are they like mandated to communicate with family about the student?
I think how we take it based on the student's preference, what they put on their communication log, if they've given us permission to speak with the family members, the question was, do we give the family member, the interns or staff members authority to communicate with the family members? And if it's based on the communication log, I think, I'm not exactly sure what the formal term of it is, that they are communicating with the family members, but it depends on how much and what it is that's being communicated. A lot of times our women's home supervisor or house manager will handle most of the interaction with the family members, unless it's something that's, you know, just the families wanting to know general progress, and then of course the mentor can share with them from their point of view what's happening with that. Yeah.
So you said that it is fulfills the accreditation part, correct?
Yes. Well, we definitely meet and go above and beyond the standards, because I think accreditation standard 49 says once a month, right? But we do it once a week. So that's one of the things that are different, okay? You don't have to do the same things, but we've just found that when we meet with the students once a week, when the staff members meet with them once a week, it really does help. It's kind of like that proactive piece. Yes?
One more question. So I was looking through it. So there are some issues that might be not applicable to some students, and then there's issues that are double applicable in a sense, like let's say somebody's struggling with shame. So would you like take more time on certain things, or do you just kind of go through it every week, different thing?
That's a really great question. I think in general, the staff member or the mentor, oh, I'm sorry, to reread the question. So he's asking, can you repeat certain maps, or if some maps aren't applicable, do you skip over them? And I kind of give that discretion to the mentor themselves, that if they need to cover 2 weeks on that topic, I would be fine with them covering 2 weeks. But most of the topics that you do cover will be applicable in some form or fashion. Now, like for example, there's one on parenting. So a student may not have any children. However, they can put it in the future tense of, what do I want to change differently when I get to that level of being a parent? What do I not want to repeat? What are some of the mistakes that I don't want to continue to do? What do I want to learn from my own experiences? So in every form or fashion, each of the maps are some are designed to be applicable in some form or fashion, even if it's a future tense. So, but I would give that the preference to the mentor. And I have had even staff members that they do go through all the maps chronologically, and then at the end, they can kind of re-hit on key ones that they feel like the students want to hit on again, and I'm okay with that. That's fine. Yes.
So these PDFs are all online, different?
Correct. Well, basically all of that information, the question is, are you given all the information to the interns when they're doing the training at once? Oh, the student. We don't give it to the student.
We give it one at a time.
Correct. We give them one map at a time. Correct. And in their file, there's a mapping record in their file, and it'll show, like when you meet with them, it's like I said, they're a little bit of the administrative piece. You'll put the date of when you met with them to kind of keep it up. And of course, for us, we have someone who does that to make sure that we stay on top of the maps, to make sure that staff members are doing it. The other thing that we make a very important distinction is the staff member is the one who is writing the answers, okay? Because, as you know, sometimes people try to take the shortcut and they'll hand the map to the student and say, fill it out. That's not the point of this. Right? That's not the point. You're supposed to sit down and let's go through this together, one by one, piece by piece. Listen, we've had it all. We've had it all. We've gone through it all. So we do have the staff member who it's in the staff member's handwriting. We've even implemented students signing the top of the map just for verification that they did complete it with that staff member. Yes. That's a good question. How early do you start it? We typically wait after the first 2 to 3 weeks of the orientation phase. So after they finish that first 2 to 3 weeks of orientation, then they get started. But they do meet their mentor. Their mentor is assigned immediately into the program. So they meet their mentor, and the mentor will get a chance to say, hey, I'm going to be your mentor. We'll sit down and we'll chat just to let you know X, Y, and Z, whatever. But we do assign them right from the very beginning, but get started on these about 2 to 3 weeks afterwards.
Well,
at our particular center, we have a whole orientation phase. Oh, what do I mean by orientation? I'm so sorry. I'm bad at this. I have to repeat every question because they can't hear what you're what they're saying because it's recorded. So in our orientation, we have a whole curriculum that we do for the first 2 to 3 weeks with each student, like showing the cross and the switchblade and going over, you know, I think it's like Project 101, some of the basic ones that we have. So there's some things that we have set apart that they do so they don't jump right into classwork and all that on, you know, second day and they're kicking heroin. It's a hard time for them to even concentrate. How are they going to be able to focus on a map, let alone they're going to, it's going to be too much. So we try to give them a little bit of time to get well. Good questions, though. Any other questions? Yes.
You talked about how in your dissertation you had the pretest and the post-test or the survey both ways. Do you provide anything like that so that as a center you can show some growth or the student would see the growth?
Yeah, it's a test that you have to buy, and so the question is, do they provide? I am so bad. The question was, do you provide them the test that I did for my dissertation for the pre and post for each center when they're doing the maps? And I don't provide that because it does cost money, and you have to be a certain level of education before you provide those tests. So I just keep it simplistic and basic in that regards. But it's a great question. What would you do to suggest for them to see the growth as they're going through the program? I think one of the things that you could see what we do is we keep all of those maps. And so unless a student wants to make a photocopy, we can make a photocopy. So we can bring them back and say, this is your answer when you were here in the program a month ago, 2 months ago. Like I said, this is a memory aid. These are things for you to see them, and they can see their and track their own progress as they've gone through it. And they can see what they said when it comes to authority. And they could be like, oh, wow, that's changed so much. So, you know, that's not how I feel anymore. So you can definitely see it's written all in the front. And just FYI, it is a very proud moment when you can look through your staff members' files and you see all these answers. It's amazing. I'm telling you, as a director, a house manager, supervisor, when you look through your staff members' answers with the students and what they're talking about and how they're making a difference and the mentoring that's going on, it's amazing. It literally is amazing. It's quality work. I'm telling you, it's a very good thing to have. Any other questions? Yes. Well, okay, so would it be safe to say they're like a counselor as well? Technically, no, because how the law is written, and of course we can kind of get into a little bit of that psychology piece, you are not allowed to say that you are a counselor unless you have a master's level degree and a license that follows. So a lot of times when people say that they're counselors, you got to be real careful that legally wise, word wise, you really can't say that. So that's why we use mentor.
Okay, so if they were a counselor and meet that criteria, did this replace something?
Well, does this replace something when it comes to if a counselor was there? Okay, I'm going to answer this and you tell me if I'm answering it correctly, okay? I think that this is coming alongside of and making an improvement with the mentoring piece. Now, as far as if there was a counseling side and a mentoring, I think it's going to be great, even greater. You know, for me, that's what I do at our center. So we have three licensed counselors that do the official mental health counseling, but then all of the staff does the mentoring. So they're doing the mentoring pieces. So it is completely separate. It is not, the mentors aren't really getting into the mental health piece. The mentors are just basically helping them with going through the program and how do I deal with things and helping my emotional pieces as I go through that. Does that make sense? Okay, yes.
Challenges maybe doing it twice a month or once a month?
I'm sure that there are, and I don't know how they are doing it. It's not necessarily required 30 minutes. That's kind of like the general go about, but some maps might take 20 minutes, some might take 40, just kind of depends on each session. And I think and as you build rapport, I think they may feel more comfortable opening up with you. But it's not, like I said, this is not required that you do it every week. I just think it's more beneficial that you do it once a week. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is an 8-month program, so we try to get through it all of it in one shot because some of the stuff is really good. Yeah.
What do you do with post-graduation?
Yes, so that's a really great question. Thank you for asking that. She says, "What do you do with post-graduation or for restoration?" So I have a specific set of restoration maps for a student who comes into the program if they've completed the program of Teen Challenge, that they do restoration. And so there's 12 of them, 12 maps that they will do for restoration, because the restoration is 3 to 4 months, and they'll do 12 maps for the restoration. So that's a really great question. Thank you for asking that. Yes?
So if you have a follow-up program after somebody's done with it, you have a couple of 13 to 16 months, and once they're done, you do follow-up six months to a year. Do you provide any resources or mentorship for the people who are already living at home, have a job, and so on, so we can guide them to something like that?
I mean, they are more than welcome to continue. They're asking if there's any additional follow-up resources after the 13 to 16 month, after they've graduated the program. They're more than welcome to take this course online and get the training themselves if they wanted to continue to do it with other individuals, or you know, really up to each particular facility and center on how they want to do post-graduation work. What they do with that is whether they're doing an internship, whether they get and employment, whatever they're doing, it's really kind of up to each individual centers as far as how they're doing that. But that's one of the things that we do with ours, is that they do start doing the mentoring themselves. So that's part of that post-graduation work for them. Yes? Absolutely, 110%. So would this work with volunteers who are working within your center? Absolutely. All they need to do is take the training, and then you can communicate with them how you want to do it. And we, like at our particular center, we assign the mentorees to each person. So then a volunteer would have like 2 mentorees or whatever it may be that would be assigned, and that would be their responsibility that when they come in that week, that they would meet with their mentorees and go over those maps with them. Yeah. Great questions. Yes?
That kind of falls along the lines of what I was going to be in the center that is, you have like 50 students and, I mean, a good solid 15 staff, if not more, on site. And so I'm just trying to think about how I can actually integrate this without, and a lot of counseling with a few counselors that. So I was a little afraid that it was going to replace me answering my question. I thought it was going to actually kind of replace that. But my biggest question, I think, would be, I'm a little confused about the online training, because you're mentioning how it can be for staff as well. So I don't know how productive that would be if they're getting the training and less doing it for themselves. So how would that...
Once they've doing it for them, how productive would be the online training for the staff? So when I'm saying that, most of the staff who are doing this have already done the program as a mentee. Do you understand? So now they're getting the training to do it for as themselves, to be able to do it. So we don't let anybody do any of the training of any of the maps without the training. Does that make sense? Correct. The training is specifically for those who are going to be doing the mentoring.
And I think it's going to be best, especially for any of the centers that are
The other, and maybe Sue could probably speak to that as well, because they have a very large mass volume as well. The other thing that you could do is having maybe group with this. This is not, like I said, this is not necessarily a box. It's not a box. It's meant to be a tool, you know? So it's meant to help open up and not necessarily box you into what you have to do. So you could do two mentorees with one mentor or three mentorees with one mentor and go over each of these topics with them, and having a dialogue in a small group setting could be very effective. And that way you could meet with the volume of people. Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions? We have 15 minutes. Okay. Well, I think if everyone is good, then I'm going to let you guys go. But again, thank you very much for coming out, and check out the website. Yes.
I have one question.
Yes. Okay, so my husband is asking me if I'm available to do any of the training, and I am available to do training at your centers if you want me to come out and train all of your staff in one big lump sum. I could do that. So just let me know. It normally takes like one day to do all the staff training for all 32 maps.
Are you willing to come to California?
California, I can come to California. We can come. Thank you. Have a good day.